Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I just trust him. You know, this isn't his first rodeo. Again, every player is different. And it's not like, you know, I've been with him a number of years. I mean, I have a lot of trust in Aaron. And I know that he knows how to prepare. I've been in different circumstances like this before. Whatever happens, I know he'll be.
Arthur Smith saying what he needs to see out of Aaron Rodgers for him to play on Sunday. We all assume that Rodgers is going to play. He was a buoyant in his press conference on Wednesday.
A buoyant.
Yes. He was as cheerful as he's been in any press conference since being named a Pittsburgh Steeler. And then he practiced in a limited capacity yesterday. It's the Chicago Bears. It's his non-throwing hand. He's tough as nails. He's also the Steelers' quarterback for games like this. So he's going to play. How do we feel about that? 412-928-9370. And how do we feel about the game? Meanwhile, you have said the show has never been blacker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm eating sweet potato pie. Harry's rapping.
Mm-hmm.
What next? What are we going to do next, man? I'm loving it.
I feel
like I'm getting cultured over here.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you came in with a Cheney College sweatshirt. Wait till Chris Carter comes on. But hey, Chris, let me get one of those shirts, man. Let me hold that down. You'll start having some twang in your... You'll have a soul in your voice. Hey,
I'm gonna,
Aaron Rodgers. You gonna play this week.
I'm gonna come in on Monday just with a trombone dressed like a member of the Grambling State Marching Band.
All right, that's too far.
Oh.
It's never good to stereotype, especially racially. Right? I mean,
you're allowed if somebody does it for you, which I am.
Especially coming from the guy who, we've said before, dresses half the time like a guy who would play a racist in a movie.
You say that.
The flannel and the jacket.
You say that.
West Virginia hat.
It's more
you
hipster than racist.
You say that.
You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 12 matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and Chicago Bears. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You miss any of the show, you can listen to the Fan Morning Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also watch us live on X these days. You can watch our video stream on YouTube, and you can always listen worldwide on the Odyssey app, AUDACY, your Odyssey app. I'm concerned. I'm worried about how Rodgers is going to play in this game, and I'll take it one step further. I think this is the most important game in Rodgers Steelers' career. Maybe not to this point, maybe just overall. If you lobby to play, and you haven't played well the last six quarters, and you are compromised, even though this isn't like a major injury necessarily, you got to go out there and play well. Like, I ain't grading on a curve. If you're healthy enough to play, you got to play well. If he doesn't play well, this will be the first time I come up in here on Monday and rip him to shreds.
Well, I think Rodgers likes to play with his back against the wall.
I agree with that.
I think he loves that. He thrives on stuff like this. He loves having an ailment. It's like, oh, Aaron Rodgers' wrist is broken. He has, you know, everybody's talking about it. It's like, what is he going to do? You know, Adam Crowley's talking about he better play well, and he loves this stuff. And he goes and he performs. So, like, as all week I've been thinking the Bears are going to win, and literally up until 20 minutes ago I was thinking the Bears are going to win, and now I'm obviously starting to switch.
See, you had the sweet potato pie,
right,
and you're just feeling great.
I am. I'm starting to flip.
I'll tell you, made the coffee taste better too.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. I ate two slices.
You can start trusting me.
It's not that I said I didn't like it or wasn't going to like it. I just said I never had it, and I'm a big pumpkin pie fan. I still like pumpkin pie, but
of course.
You like
Mason Rudolph, but you'd rather have a Rodgers.
Yeah. Except for this game, where I'd rather have the pumpkin pie, which would be Mason Rudolph. That was better than any pumpkin pie I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you say that's a good sweet potato pie? Because I don't have anything to compare it to.
It's very good. But the whipped cream, like, you haven't even had it with the whipped cream, and that just takes it over. It takes it to another realm.
I am concerned that from this point forward, any sweet potato pie I ever have is not going to be as good as my first. You never forget your first.
It's usually pretty close.
I feel like I'm going to be chasing that high for the rest of my life.
You'll be chasing that high for the rest of your life, but if you go to the right people, and the right people are making it, and it's sweet potato pie, and you know who's preparing it, it usually is pretty damn close.
I think I'm going to try to make it for my family's Thanksgiving now.
Don't do that. Do not do that.
Why?
Please don't do that.
It's going to be my thing now.
Yeah, eating it, not making it. Don't make it. Trust me.
Mitchell in Monroeville wants to talk, what, pie or Steelers, Rodgers? What you got, Mitch?
Oh, what's up? Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, man.
So here's the thing. I think Rodgers, yeah, he's going to play. He seems pretty dead set on that for sure. But I'm going to play the age card. He's 42 years old.
Mm-hmm.
A broken wrist, that's a big injury. Like, for someone, like, I'm only in my 20s. If I have a broken wrist, I could bounce back. If I was a professional ball player, no problem. But, like, he's got to take longer. So I feel like either way, in my personal opinion, how the game's going to end up, Rodgers is going to start. But I feel like Rudolph is probably going to end the game. Like, if we win or lose, I don't know.
If Rudolph ends the game, then Rodgers is going to be out for a significant amount of time. If that's the case.
So you think Rodgers is probably going to try to play the entire length of the game?
Yes. Unless he, like, breaks it and it snaps it. That's the only way Rudolph plays.
Yeah, I think even poor play Mitchell, they wouldn't sit him down. Right. Like, I think once you make the commitment to start with Rodgers, you're going to end the game with Rodgers too.
For sure. My way of thinking is, like, Rodgers does tend to get hit a little bit hard. So I'm just thinking, like, heaven forbid he gets hit a bit too hard and he's out, Mason Rudolph's in. That's the only way I can really see it, because you guys make good points, you know, like, they're probably going to try to keep him. I feel like Mike Tomlin favors Aaron Rodgers way more than Mason. I'm pretty sure he's going to try to keep Aaron in the game as much as possible.
And I think it's going to alter the game plan to an extent. Thank you for the call, Mitchell, at 412-928-9370. Bears don't get a ton of pressure, but they get a ton of turnovers, which I think is tailor-made for Rodgers. He's not a guy that generally puts the ball in harm's way. He's the best touchdown-interception ratio in the history of the NFL. That being said, the Bears' defense is bad, but only if you're hitting big plays.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of who the quarterback is, I'm not feeling great about their ability to hit big plays.
Mm-hmm.
They're 26th in the NFL in explosive play rate. And if you're not moving it that way on them, you're really not moving it. So I'm a little bit concerned that they're going to not have a great offensive output. I kind of think, Doran, this game's destined to be lower scoring than people might think. Like, I could see it being a 2017 game,
mm-hmm,
coming down to the wire at the end. I also think that the Bears are fraudulent, and I got another statistic that makes me feel that even more than some of the stuff we brought up earlier in the week at 412-928-9370. I saw this on Matt Williamson's stat pack on Steelers.com. The Bears have now won 5 games this season in which they came back in the final 2 minutes. That is insane. So in 5 of their wins, they were trailing with 2 minutes to go. They could easily, and hey, that's culture by Ben Johnson, right?
Yeah, what does that actually say, though?
I think it says that they are game and they are gritty.
Like, you got to put them away.
You
That's
do.
What that says.
You're right about that, man. And I'll tell you this. I will tell you this, Dorenson. The Bears lose all five of those games last year.
Yep.
All five of those games.
Yeah, absolutely.
We saw them on Thanksgiving last
yep,
year.
Remember, yep.
Oh, my God. It was...
Didn't call timeout, right?
Yes! I never get mad when I'm watching like the opposite, like some other team pee down their leg, unless I got money on the line or something. I had no money on the line in that game, and I was viscerally mad because it's some of the worst clock management yep. I've ever seen in my entire life. So, under the previous administration, they lose the game. They lose the game. And they're probably sitting here with a losing record. So, there is something to that. But, if you're trailing for 58 minutes and five of your wins, there's also a flawed team there, too. So I've been conflicted on this game all week. I do think the Bears are going to win because it's at home for them at Soldier Field. What do you think? 412-928-9370. How do you feel Rodgers is going to fare in this game? What do you think about the Bears? Are they fraudulent? Do you think the Steelers find a way to get it done? 412-928-9370. People are saying that they think I should try pound cake next.
Yes.
I've had pound cake.
Have you?
I think so.
What does it look like?
Pound. In cake form. 412-928-9370. Vibe check. How you feeling about Steelers Bears? We could get all cute on a Friday. We don't. We let you steer the conversation. How you feeling about the game? 412-928-9370. It's 712. Make the smart call. Buell Insurance Agency 724-443-5610. And you can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think what it's done is there's not so much in terms of what we do differently coverage-wise. It's just we're able to streamline some things in terms of guys being in position. In this grouping, he's at nickel. In this grouping, he's at safety. In this grouping, he's at corner. We have less of that. And although he's really into that, is really steady. You know, you're not hearing it from a different guy. You might be saying the same things, but sometimes, you know, when you hear it from a certain guy, it rings. And so that's always, I think, been a good part and parcel for us keeping him in one spot.
That was Terrell Austin fighting off a cough for 40 seconds and also saying how Jalen Ramsey has made the Steelers defense better, and particularly when he's been back at safety. I think the Steelers defense has turned a corner, and I expect them to play well against Chicago on Sunday. We'll get to that coming up in a second. You can join Donnie Football and Jason Mackey at Shiloh Plate and Pour for a pregame tailgate brunch this Sunday. Donnie and Jason will broadcast live from 10 a.m. to 1 from Shiloh Plate and Pour on Mount Washington, Mount Washington's favorite sports bar. Mackey's going to join us coming up in about 13 minutes here to get into this game, but also to get into the Pirates spending. And he's been on the Penguin beat now for a couple of days, and there was a big-time quote from Ryan Graves criticizing Mike Sullivan, pretty much saying that Sully wouldn't let him play the way he wants to or wanted to. And we heard the same thing from Eric Carlson not that long ago.
And Tyler Kennedy yesterday.
What did Tyler Kennedy do?
Basically alluded to that.
Tyler Kennedy told the PM guys I was going to golf with him yesterday because they continue to try to wedge a divide between me and TK.
Mm.
TK doesn't have a problem with me, and they want him to think that there is a problem there.
Are you sure he doesn't have a problem?
No. No, I'm not.
Is he just playing nice?
Yeah, I think he might be. To the topic at hand, though, the Steelers' defense. The Bears are incredibly well coached on that side of the ball, the offensive side of the ball. Ben Johnson is a really good offensive mind. He obviously, like we mentioned in the last segment, has the culture going in the right direction. They've won a whole bunch of close games, games that we feel like they'd have lost in the past. But I've said explosive plays are the key to this game. The Bears give up a lot on defense, and they get a lot on offense. They are sixth in the NFL in explosive play rate. They have six guys with 200-plus receiving yards. But here's where I think the Steelers get it done, defensively at least, Dorn. This from Matt Williamson's stat pack as well. Against the Cowboys and Bengals, the NFL's worst two defenses, Caleb Williams averages 290 passing yards, 9.3 yards per attempt, 7 touchdowns, no picks. Against all other opponents this year, Williams averages 218 passing yards, 7 yards per attempt with a 6-4 touchdown to interception ratio. He has feasted on bad competition and has been bogged down slightly, if not more than slightly, against good competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally feel good because Ramsey at safety about saying the Steelers' defense is good competition. Agree?
I agree.
He holds onto the ball forever, too.
He does, but he can crush them in the running game with his legs. But I feel like the Steelers have done decent with quarterbacks that have decent running ability this year. But I don't know how much longer that could hold up. Like, what are the Steelers going to be focusing on? Are they going to be focusing on that, or are they going to just be focusing on doing their thing and what they bring to the table of creating turnovers? Because if they focus on creating turnovers and that doesn't happen, I think Caleb Williams can exploit them with his legs.
Yeah, and they've run the ball really well this year. That's always a staple of what Ben Johnson wants to do. And back even in Detroit, much to your chagrin, because you love Jahmyr Gibbs, he and Montgomery combined for a ton of yards, and Montgomery was like the touchdown vulture. Well, they got two guys now. DeAndre Swift's their leading ball carrier, 634 yards, about 5 yards a pop. Their backup running back is averaging the exact same amount of yards per carry as is DeAndre Swift. They've combined for 1,000 yards. So they're going to run. Caleb Williams, to your point, is averaging more yards per carry than those guys. So that might be what you have to key in on, is stopping the run. Because you're right, man, whenever you start thinking about eligibles, throwing the ball, like Roma Dunsey's been their number one guy. But then after that, they spread it around. Adunzi's got 600 yards, DJ Moore 421, then Colson Loveland, then Luther Burden, then a guy's name I can't say, then DeAndre Swift, then Cole Kmet. They throw the ball all over the damn place. And so if I'm keying on anything, I think I got to stop the run.
Who's the guy's name you couldn't say? Manon guy?
I couldn't say his either. That's their backup running back.
Backup running back, yeah.
Olamide Zaccheaus.
Olamide Zaccheaus. I actually trained him for the combine.
Oh, shut up.
Okay.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Olamide Zaccheaus. Went to Virginia.
Olamide Zaccheaus?
Yes.
Did he play on the team that Kenny Pickett beat to win the Coastal Division? That was the anniversary of that yesterday.
Maybe.
Where Jordan Addison plucked the ball away from the defender and then scored to put Pitt up 10 at the end and win the Coastal Division? Yeah. Olamide Zaccheaus?
Olamide Zaccheaus.
Olamide Zaccheaus.
Olamide.
Olamide Zaccheaus. Olamide Zaccheaus. Olamide?
Olamide.
Zaccheaus.
Yes.
Zaccheaus I got. We'll just call him Zaccheaus from this point forward. But there's not, apart from Roma Dunze, a guy that you're going to go, okay, that's the guy, except for the running game. So I think you stop the run and then see where it all goes from there. And they have been better at stopping the run of late. I wouldn't go so far as to say they're good at stopping the run. You know, James Harrison was on a podcast this week and talked about their gap integrity and how it sucks, and he lost his mind. So it's not perfect, but they have been better. You know they're going to find different creative ways to do it. They like to play multiple tight ends a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not dissimilar to Arthur Smith. So I think it's a big challenge, but if you can limit the explosive plays, which they largely have with Jalen Ramsey and Kyle Duggar back there, and you make them have to work for it, I think you're going to see the guys be able to get some pressure up front. And I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. But I do think the Bears are going to win 20-17 because they've been able to pull these games out of their bums.
Yes, they have.
And I pay attention to that trend. And I just don't think the Steelers' offense has been in a good place, and I wouldn't expect that to change in what will be, seriously, if Rodgers plays, and we expect him to, the most difficult atmosphere any team in the NFL is going to have to play in this weekend. That place is going to be out for blood. It's the first time the damn Bears have been good in .. Your most hated quarterback rival since Brett Favre, and maybe even more than Brett Favre's walking up in there. That place is going to be a cauldron, dude. I'm excited about that atmosphere, but I think it's going to be tough to move the ball. So I feel good about the defense, but I just don't know that the offense does enough to push him over the edge.
I agree.
Thank you. David in Warrendale, before we get to Mackey. Hi, David.
How you doing?
Peachy.
Hello. You there?
Lemonade Zucchinis.
Hello?
Lemonade Zucchinis?
Did you just hang up on him?
Hey, he wasn't there. Give us a call.
He was there.
Give us a call back. 412-928-9370.
No patience for this guy.
Of course not. Text us at 412-928-9370. And you can tweet us as well. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Here's a tweet. Send your shout out to Ernie and Dancing Gnome, to the owner of Dancing Gnome. He was ecstatic. Ernie's pies are great. Old PGH makes me send him one in Seattle every year.
Nice.
Ernie's a great guy. Sharpsburg staple. Also loves golf.
Awesome.
We might have to hook him up with some golf.
I think we should.
A little quid pro quo.
Mm-hmm.
Lemonade Zucchinis. Is that how you say it? Olamide Zacchaeus?
Oh my gosh.
David called back.
Hey, David.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
So my got two things. If the offensive line holds up, we should be okay.
Okay, 0 for 1?
If not, who's going to be the person that, you know, lets the jailbreak occur and Rodgers leaves the game hurt?
Oh, I think so you got a couple of options there, David.
There you go. And what are they waiting on Scantling for?
Good question.
I think this, you know, 2 6-foot-4 receivers out there, it presents a huge problem. But I don't know.
Thank you, David. Appreciate the call.
Maybe Scantling was, I mean, he was released for a reason. He's put on a practice squad for a reason. Maybe he just isn't that guy.
Maybe he got fat.
Because I mean, everybody wants MVS up, but he was released for a reason. He's on practice squad for a reason.
They seem to get, with every passing week, more and more faith in Roman Wilson, which might have something to do with it. But we talked earlier in the show and really all week long about them not creating separation at the wide receiver position. I'd at least try it, but you're right. I mean, they want to win too, and if they're not playing him, there's got to be a reason why. Great, no help on the way. Jason Mackey, he joins us next to talk about the Steelers, because he'll be doing pregame before Steelers-Bears on Sunday with Donnie Football. Also, the Big Ten story and the Pirates. Are they actually going to spend some money? We'll mix in some of that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And joining us right now on that fan hotline is our good buddy, jack of all trades right now at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jason Mackey. Mackey brought to you by Westminster College, exceptional education that is genuinely affordable. Good morning to you, Mackey.
What up, guys? Happy Friday. Good to see you.
Happy Friday. It is a football Friday, so we'll start there, but there's a bunch of Pirates and Penguins we should get to and we want to get to as well. You think Rodgers will play well on Sunday? And who wins the game?
I think they win the game, Adam. I'll start with that part first. I do think they found something last week. They showed me some stuff outside of Rodgers. I think today is going to be a big day. I know that's a cop-out answer. I think he probably does. I think it takes a lot to take him off the field. He traditionally crushes the Bears. I think he really wants to be a part of this thing. I think he guts it out and plays. As much as I'm curious to see Mason Rudolph given the way he performed once he came into that one. I do think Rodgers is in there.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just about to ask you. I mean, say Rodgers somehow doesn't play and Mason is the guy. Do you think Mason would do a good enough job to win them the game? And say Rodgers was out 3 weeks, would he do a good enough job to beat the Buffalo Bills next week coming into town?
Ooh. Well, Doran, I mean, given the Bills' defense, the way that group looks, I think Mason would give them enough. Could they score with the Bills? Could they shut down the Bills? I have more questions there. But, man, if you're telling me they have to ride with Mason for a couple weeks, I don't think they're screwed. I really don't. Like, I think Mason has it. I like the tempo with which they operated. I like kind of brings the deep ball back into play, I think, more so than Aaron Rodgers. I was impressed with Mason, man. I can't say I was surprised, but I was impressed.
Jason, the Pirates tossed a little cheddar over to our guy Jack Sawinski, who's out of options. So there's no guarantee that the guy makes the club or anything like that. But what say you on the reports that they were in on Naylor, that they have been in on Schwarber, and what do you expect this Pirates offseason to look like?
I know, man. That one threw a little bit of a wrench at me. That surprised me, seeing you're going to pick up Jack Sawinski or you're going to tender him a contract, I guess I should phrase it. Like, I don't know how those worlds exist. Like, you're in the Kyle Schwarber talks, you're in the Josh Naylor right? talks, but you have Jack Sawinski.
They could get 80 like, Jack Sawinskis for that price.
They could, and they need, well, zero of them. Like, I just, if you're going to go out and be better and spend the money and shoot higher, like, absolutely. Do it. They need to. They need to get players who are better than Jack Sawinski. The middle ground, how I understand this, guys, is like it's so minimally – they're not offering a lot. Like, relatively speaking, they're basically giving him a chance to say, here, try to prove that those 26 home runs 2 years ago were real. No, I don't think they're seriously in on the Schwarber thing. Like, are you monitoring the market? Are you interested in spending more money than you have typically? Yes. You know, were they right down to the wire making Josh Naylor like sweat it out, whether he goes to, stays in Seattle or goes to Pittsburgh? No. Like, I think truth is probably in the middle there. Like, you're going to monitor those things. You're not a serious contender for those guys because you haven't won. I think it's going to take a lot to bring them here. You'd have to way overpay, which doesn't make sense for them. What they're probably going to do is shoot below Naylor and Schwarber. Find a free agent who's like, you know, 75, not quite 95, and overpay that guy, I would hope.
Can you give us some names? Like, I mean, we were going through the free agent list the other day. I mean, Cedric Mullins, I could see them signing him. I could honestly see a reunion with Starling Marte. I could see that. Callis believes that they have a good chance of signing Schwarber. I don't know if that's shtick or not, but I don't believe that at all. But who are some guys that they would?
Mullins is a really good one, Dorn. He's one of my top tier ones. Like, you look at guys who need the opportunity to prove themselves, who have a recent track record of performance. And like, that's Mullins. He had a bad year last year, but for the previous 5 years, like, he was one of the better five tool players in the game. So the Pirates have to take that gamble and overpay him. Max Kepler is another one of those guys that I really, really like. I can see he makes sense. Harrison Bader also makes sense. I hope they go after, and I do think they will, Eugenio Suarez from the Mariners. I don't know if he's going to leave, you know, and it's going to take a decent amount of money to convince him to sign here, but he has power. They need power. Like, he's not going to hit for a high average. He's not great defensively. I don't care. You know, I also think trades are going to be a part of it, guys. Like, Mitch Keller, like, it's obviously going to be part of their offseason, whether they can get enough value to justify a trade. But like, if you can, Brandon Lau makes a lot of sense from Tampa Bay, has a couple 30 plus homer seasons. He's in the final year of his deal. He could probably be had for some prospects. That trade makes sense. Jordan Westberg from the Orioles is another infielder with some power who really is kind of blocked in Baltimore. He would make a lot of sense. So I think you're probably going to see a free agent signing that makes everybody kind of go, the Pirates are a little bit more serious. And I think you're probably going to see a trade that does that as well.
So you think they could add 2-3 bats to the equation is kind of what you're putting down?
Yeah, that's what I'm putting down.
Okay, good.
And I think they know they need to. And yeah, I don't think it's going to be like all out on free agency. Like, it's, you know, and I don't think it's going to be Kyle Schwarber, but I do think they're going to add a couple bats here that fix the offense.
Jason Mackey is brought to us by Westminster College, where every student accepted for fall 2026 is guaranteed a scholarship. Matt Venzel is becoming an editor now at the Post-Gazette. And so you, at least for the interim, as I understand it, are doing a lot of Penguin stuff, Jason, and you got a quote from Ryan Graves. He said, quote, "The last few years, I've really tried to fit a mold. Now the staff has said, be you, be what you've been your whole career," end quote. This is now the second defenseman who has come out and, in so many words, thrown shade at the previous administration. Is that how you took it? And how many guys do you feel like felt that way under Mike Sullivan?
Well, I would have said one prior to yesterday, meaning Erik Karlsson. Like, it wasn't a surprise to me that Karlsson felt like he was misused, underused, didn't like playing here, that whole deal. Graves, I didn't realize, fell into that category. And yeah, I mean, I think that was a thinly veiled shot at how he was used. Like, these guys love playing for Dan Muse. That's one thing I've sort of come to realize being here the past couple of days. Like, I'm not going to, you know, be spewing any sort of deep takes. I've been on this for 2 days, although I do watch them and follow them and care about them. But boy, is it pleasant to be around that team right now and talk to guys about playing in that system and how Dan Muse just runs things, you know, and connects with defensemen. I didn't even realize this guy. I mean, they're the best defensive team in hockey, right?
Wild.
They're giving up the fewest goals against per game. And I mean, Ryan
guys
Graves
like Parker Wotherspoon, for God's sakes.
And Ryan Graves and Connor Clifton and Ryan Shea playing top 4 minutes with Artur Shelov's Tristan Jarry and Sergei Mirashov in goal. They've been one of the best goaltending teams in the NHL. Like, it's really good, man. And you're doing something systematically that helps that. Like, we've talked about this in the puck side overload in their own zone, and I don't want to get too hockey nerdy, but like, they're getting through to guys and making use of them in a way that the former regime couldn't. And I thought it was really interesting. I had a conversation with Graves yesterday off the record about my job, about what I'm doing. And like, any of us, I feel like, can appreciate this. If you're doing the same thing over and over again, and then you do something else, like, it's going to spur creativity. And that's kind of what this little adventure is doing for me. And that's what happened to Graves in Wilkes-Barre. Like, he was running a power play. He was playing top 4 minutes. He was doing stuff that he wouldn't do here, and it helped him get his confidence back. Why the former regime didn't do that, I don't know, but it's really helped him.
Jason, little of this, little of that. I like that, man. Thank you for jumping on with us. I know you'll be at Penn's practice today, and we'll catch up with you next week, and we'll hear you on Sunday at Shiloh Platenport with Dawny Football.
Always a pleasure, dudes. Thank you. Have a
good
one.
Mackie.
Thanks, Jason.
He got a haircut, too. We all got haircuts.
Did he get a haircut? We all look awesome.
You can get a haircut, Jason? He's frozen in time.
Oh, yeah.
All right, very good. So kind of what we talked about the other day with the Pirates. Like, they're not going to spend 80 on one guy, but could you sprinkle that around to three or four guys?
They could, or three guys? They could, but I still don't believe them. Yeah.
Well, and then they do the Sawinski thing yesterday.
Oh, my God.
That makes you go, you know what? They are exactly who they always are. Take a flyer on this guy for $1.15 million.
I mean, come on.
You can either have one Naylor or 80 Jack Sawinskis, and they have decided to go the 80 Jack Sawinski route. Coming up next, Steelers, Bears, a huge one, obviously, on Sunday, the Pitt Panthers. Well, now it's ACC play, so Narduzzi cares. Ha-ha. Pitt, Georgia Tech, tomorrow night for lots of the marbles. We'll talk to Chris Carter coming up in about 10 minutes. Steelers-Bears matchup segment. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. How you feeling about the Panthers in Atlanta?
I'm feeling pretty good. I know there's a lot of Panther fans that are going to be traveling to the game, and they match up way better with Georgia Tech than clearly they did against Notre Dame. And, you know, Mason Heinrich, he's a young quarterback, and you're going to live with some of the issues that come with that, but he's been a kid that has been resilient and has bounced back whenever things have gone bad. So I do expect a good showing for the Panthers, and they know what's on the line. They know what's at stake. I don't feel like that there's much pressure, but at the same time, they know that they have a great opportunity here to, you know, go down to Georgia Tech, beat that team that has been playing very good football all year, and then come back home and see what your fate is against Miami. So I feel pretty good right now. It's going to be a crazy environment, a tough environment, but I think that the Panthers are up for the task.
I don't really take much from the Notre Dame game, to be honest with you, because they got so many dudes at every position. And that's a team that is playing great football that could maybe contend for a national championship. And we all thought that Pitt had a chance to contend for an ACC championship this year. But it's a different level of talent, yeah. And that's the nature of the sport, and kind of always has been, but particularly now with the money and Notre Dame's brand and blah, blah, blah. I don't think it matters all that much. I think Pitt is on an even playing field with Georgia Tech. Like, they are similarly talented teams. Both teams have good quarterbacks. I think Pitt's defense is way better than Georgia Tech's defense. Georgia Tech's defense has been bad the last couple of weeks. And the one thing that concerned me going into that Notre Dame game is, I said it. I said the Pitt offensive line leaves a lot to be desired in pass protection. Well, Notre Dame could exploit that. I don't think Georgia Tech can. Uh-huh. Georgia Tech has 18 sacks on the season in 10 games. Like, they don't get the quarterback on the ground. I think Pitt's going to put up in the 40s. I think it might be a shootout. Hayes King, I have a ton of respect for as a passer and as a runner, and he's a junkyard dog. And I think they play football the way that Pat Narduzzi would like to play football himself. I think he probably has a ton of respect for this Georgia
no
Tech
doubt.
Team.
No doubt.
But I think Pitt's been playing better football if you take the Notre Dame game out of the equation, and I do because I don't think it's applicable here. Applicable. I think Pitt wins 45-37.
A lot of points.
A lot of points, yeah.
They need it, man. They need it. It'd be a great feeling. You hop on that plane ride home, and you know you have one game to really solidify your season to what's going to happen. So I hope they're up for the task. I hope they're up for the challenge. And guys got to step up. Can't have any drop passes. Like, think like the details. Like, talked about it against Notre Dame. Like, even if you had all the details aligned against Notre Dame, Notre Dame proved that they are a really good football team. You probably weren't going to win the game, but the details still killed them. I mean, think about the first drive, all the drop passes, Poppy Williams, the drop pass. Like, you can't have that in a game like tomorrow. Like, you have to hone in on the details.
Your big-time players got to be big-time players.
Yes.
Here's another matchup thing to watch, because Pitt can create pressure with the best of them. Haynes King has only been sacked 7 times on the year. 7 times. Now, they run him a lot and stuff like that, and they're balanced. They've rushed for over 2,000 yards on the year. He's thrown for 2,700 yards. So it's a good offensive football team. I think Pitt's defense is the difference, and they get enough stops to win the thing. And then you see what happens with SMU, and it's all on the line against Miami. I had thought Miami probably wouldn't have much to play for in the last week, but they've crept closer to the playoff cut line. So they feel like if they win out, they've got a good shot. So it would set up a monumental task in a huge battle. And a team that has come to Pittsburgh in the final game of a season and lost before.
Yep.
So it's all out there ahead of Pitt. They just got to take care of this one. And Georgia Tech, a slight favor, but the line has actually moved a little bit in Pitt's favor. So I think some people with the big stacks of cash are viewing it the same way. All right, coming up next, we'll talk to Chris Carter from the Post-Gazette in a Locked On Steelers podcast about this Steelers-Bears game. Bottom of the hour, we got Charlie Batch. We've talked so much about backup quarterbacks. Why not bring in the most popular backup quarterback in Steelers history? So Charlie's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Right now, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 50, low of 41, 80% chance of rain. On Sunday for kickoff for the Steelers, 51 and sunny in the Windy City.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.